This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com. Watch it.
What's going on, revolutionaries? Welcome back to the show. Another week. Oh my gosh, it's almost over. We have, just a couple weeks, week and a half left? Holy cow. We are flying through this whole campaign season, almost done. Last week, if you wanted to hear what we said and the guest, the guy that I said, you know, you want to be always the dumbest person in the room because then you're going to learn something. That was George Cabaservice from the Niskanen Center. And they are a very powerful and influential think tank for conservatives in Washington, D.C. That was really cool. It was really a fascinating discussion with him. He's a brilliant, brilliant man. My God. If you want to listen to that episode, along with all the other ones, and this one, if you want me to put you to sleep at night, whatever you want me to do, civicmedia.us, you can download our podcast, listen to the show. You probably want to listen to this one because I got a dear friend of mine, longest serving senator in the Wisconsin State Senate.
How did that happen?
Rob Coles, how are you?
Well,
how
Mark,
did that happen?
Mark, yeah. Congratulations on your career and private sector and doing this.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed with this studio and thanks for having me on.
It's
you know, I'm only going to do a few interviews as I fade away.
Oh, don't say that.
But, yeah. You know, I just want to say to anybody that's listening and you know, I've been to, you know, even though I announced that I'm not running again, I've been out and around thanking people.
Yeah. A victory
and
lap.
And it's been mostly positive. positive response. There's always a few, of course. But I'm grateful for the time. And you know what? When I first started, I don't think I had quite the feeling for a lot of things. And it's been an incredible.
How old were you when you started?
32.
What's changed? What was it like back then?
It was more civil and it wasn't as polarized.
Yeah.
And there's a lot, that's probably subject of a whole nother set of, you know, a whole nother show, but I just want to impart I'm grateful for the time I've had.
Yeah.
I had a chance to work on a lot of things, serve my district, and I was focused in on the district. And as I got older, I think it was even more important to me to understand the nuances of the district and what the district wanted. And I had a chance to do something that not everybody gets a chance to do.
Yeah.
You know, I was very interested in energy policy and environmental policy. You know, I've got a degree from UW-Green Bay and environmental studies / math.
That makes sense. It's one of those composite degrees. Yeah, yeah.
But I've always been, you know, concerned about environmental issues, and I had a chance to work on a bunch of them, yeah. And I'm grateful for that. And at the same time, be the, you know, a very strict budgeting guy, and you know, watching the dollars. Through being on the audit committee, and I was on the finance committee for a while.
And, famously, don't like policy in the budget.
That's right.
See,
care about democracy, right. And having a chance to testify, and you don't want to sneak those things through.
Right.
But anyhow, it was a great chance for me, and I'm grateful to the people that supported me, and for all those people that didn't support me. I forgive them. It's amazing as you come to the end. You move on and you don't want to have that any bitterness.
Yeah.
You know, it took me years to get over, you know, some of the harassment and difficulties, the recall. Back to the recall when we passed Act 10, which I would still argue it's like, well, what was our alternative?
Yeah.
You have to balance the budget,
right?
Some way, somehow, and there was a massive hole. But anyhow, I had a chance to to work on a lot of things, met a lot of incredible people. And I feel like I'm a better person at the end of the day, end of the career. And I still plan on being involved in different things. I'm sorting that out. As I say to friends that ask, and a lot of people ask, well, what are you going to do now, Rob? So I'm going to reinvent myself.
There you go.
So instead of being
nightclub singer.
You know? I don't think that I'd be singing Frank Sinatra, except in the shower. Once in a while I might belt out Summer Wind, which is one of my favorite songs from that era.
Nice.
So there's something that, came from Frank Sinatra's from a different generation, even before mine.
Right.
But I love the music. The music was sort of playing in the background of my youth, and it's sort of, you fall in love with it. But anyhow. I'm grateful for the time I've had. Yeah. And so now I'm gradually drifting away and, I'm attending meetings and, talking to people. I've got, two staffers left. Two of my staffers have moved on. When you announce you're not running, people have to go get another job.
I'm
grateful. I've got a couple of, another piece I really want to emphasize, I've had some incredible staffers.
You have.
That have to work on complex pieces of legislation, you've got to have good staff.
Yeah, Matt is one of the ones that I've gotten to know. I don't know if I could say this. Matt Hinkle, he was good.
No, that's somebody else.
That was somebody else.
Yeah.
Worked on your campaign, or one of the things that I got to know him through you.
Okay, but right now I've got staffers sprinkled all over government.
Yeah,
ex-staffers.
Yeah.
And Tony Herkert, she's a local gal. She was Tony Remendini when she started working for me. She's now running the League of Municipalities government department. And Jason Mugnani is running the Farm Bureau.
That's right.
Katie
He's
White.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he is. He's
oh my
a
God.
Very great guy. Chicago guy I met through St. Norbert, and he's doing very well. And there's a whole bunch of others worked for me for various pieces of time that are doing great things. Because what happens is that these staffers, they develop an expertise in a subject area, and it creates a lot of value for different organizations.
Yep.
So I've got somebody working at WMC, and Katie White is an excellent lobbyist for Cancer Society and a bunch of others. And there's a number of people.
That's got to make you proud.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I just lost one of my excellent staffers, Ryan Smith. I'll say something about Ryan, and God bless his soul. He passed away way too young, and his funeral is this Friday in Madison. And he did great things for me, but I had so many great people that helped me get things done. That was when I was. At the peak of my career, I was chairman of the audit committee, and I know we got a lot of things done there. Jason did great work there.
Yes.
And we found out a lot of ways to save money and to comply with the law that wasn't being complied with. And in the environmental area, when I was chairman of Natural Resources and Energy, I'm still chair, and there's still a little bit to do there before I'm totally done. I had some incredible staffers there. Sean Dilwig, who's now moved on to bigger and better things, and Tony Herkert, who I mentioned is with the league, and more recently, Evan Miller, who's still with me, staying almost to the very end.
What a guy.
He'll be getting a great job that I can't talk about right now
because
he doesn't want me to talk about it. But anyhow, I've had a good run, and it was time for me, and I'm grateful to have lucky, I guess, to have good health because I work on it.
I got to work on it.
Yeah, I think everybody's got to do a little.
Yeah,
you don't have to be a marathon. You just do a little bit each day, and it might vary, but it gets your metabolism up, and then you can eat more and put on.
So now we're talking. I can do that. Yeah, that's awesome. I also think that it bears. You're not going to want me to say this, but I think the communities that you've served are better for your service as well. Grew up in Alloway, and you were my state senator when I was 1 year old.
How did this happen?
I don't know, man. That's crazy. I know.
I got to tell you, time, I say to people. It's like, and you know, when I was first there, it's hard to comprehend that I would still be there in my early 70s.
Well,
and all my friends that I served with are gone.
Yeah. Mike Ellis.
And I just, Mike was a great friend and an incredible leader. And I got to tell you a funny story about Tommy called me. Of course, there's only one and only Tommy, Governor Tommy Thompson. He called me. And actually, when he heard that I was, that I announced that I wasn't running, he tried to talk me out of it. Like, only Tommy.
Yeah. Because what did he say?
What a passionate guy. Well, he just said, you can't, you know, this is Tommy. He tries to convince, he's a compelling guy. He says, you can't leave. You're the last connection to that era. And it's like, wow. It's hard to imagine that, I was the last person that served with him. But I was lucky to have that time and work on things, most of it good.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
What was your favorite? What was your favorite thing to work on?
I really love being chairman of audit because you've got 88 auditors over there. I don't know if there's any one thing, but we have these incredible resources called the Legislative Council and the Audit Bureau and the Reference Bureau, and the we've got, these are service agencies that work for the legislature. Mm-hmm. They're totally independent, and we want to keep them that way. But I really got to know the Audit Bureau and working with Joe Christman and before that Jan Mueller. These are amazing people that go find out where the bodies are buried. That metaphor. They find out what's really happening and ideas to fix it.
Yeah.
And the waste that they uncover is just incredible. So the audit, I really enjoyed that because as a fiscal conservative, I want to save money wherever we can.
Yeah. Yes.
I want to say that even though I was really deeply involved in all sorts of energy issues and environmental issues, the thing that I think is the most satisfying is, and something I'm the most proud of, is taking on the bad budgeting that went on right after the McCallum administration. Well, it started partially in that era, and then it went on to after that. But when you balance the budget with smoke and mirrors, you pay a price.
Yeah.
A lot of people, it takes a lot of time to sort that out, but using one-time money and various accounting tricks to balance a budget. And there's still, from that era, now 20 years ago, there's still a few clinkers in our state budget that should be cleaned up. Started cleaning them up in the last go-around.
Wow. We're going to continue this discussion here with Rob Coles on the other side. You're going to want to stick around. He's got a lot to say here in the Rational Revolution.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What's going on, everyone? Revolutionaries, hi. You're back on the Rational Revolution. You got me, you got my dear friend Rob Coles. Let's make some headlines, shall we? Hey, a couple weeks ago I had the distinct honor of sitting down with Representative Liz Cheney and Kamala Harris at a rally in Ripon, where Liz Cheney, famous not Democrat, endorsed Kamala Harris for president. I got a couple cuts from her speech that I want to play. We're going to go with the first one here right now.
I am a Ronald Reagan conservative. I believe in limited government. I believe in low taxes. I believe in a strong national defense. And I believe that the private sector is the engine of growth of our economy. I believe that the family and not the government is the most important structure in our society. I know that our security and our freedom depend upon a world in which America, with our allies, leads. And above all else, I know that the most conservative of conservative values is fidelity to our Constitution. I tell you, I have never voted for a Democrat, but this year I am proudly casting my vote for Vice President Kamala Harris.
Liz Cheney said that. Liz Cheney, famous, not Democrat, Liz Cheney. That's a pretty big deal. Do you have the second one ready? We're going to play one more from her at the time in Ripon.
As we meet here today, our republic faces a threat unlike any we have faced before. A former president who attempted to stay in power by unraveling the foundations of our republic, by refusing to accept the lawful results confirmed by dozens of courts of the 2020 election. We cannot turn away from this truth. In this election, putting patriotism ahead of partisanship is not an aspiration. It is our duty.
Patriotism above partisanship. It is our duty. What do you think of that?
I think she's a very gutsy gal. And I agree with all the nifty things she just said.
So
I look back at all the people that I supported for president before I was there were a couple. I voted for Republican for president every time.
How about this time?
Well, we're not doing it this time.
Who are you going to vote not, for?
And this is. You know, and getting to this point, I want to say that I've been concerned about the blowback, and I want to separate my decision on president from all the other so-called down ballot people.
Sure.
Because I'm not talking about them. I think that everybody, all those people, should be judged on the various merits, and that's what I would be doing. But. You know, as chairman of the audit committee, backing up to that, and the audit that we had done of the 2020 election did not find fraud. There was the will audit. They basically found some administrative things that wouldn't have tipped the election. So you've got the former president continuing to say that the election was stolen every time he's here in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't happen. There were some issues, but clerks have been put through a tremendous amount of stress, and we're having trouble finding clerks. So that's a check against him. You have to accept the results.
A peaceful transfer of power.
Peaceful transfer of power. It's part of the foundation of our country. If you don't have that, all our freedoms that are part of the Constitution will eventually disappear.
Mm-hmm.
So there's probably been irregularities. There might even have been fraud in past elections.
Not this time.
Others accepted it, got accepted.
Yeah.
So it's, I I've been agonizing whether to talk about this completely frankly, but I've been concerned about blowback, you know, and what it does to, because you're involved in the Republican Party for all this time, and you're trying to help colleagues, and I'm helping several in Northeast Wisconsin, and I don't want this to blow back on them, and I know that there'll be people that'll be upset with me, and I came to the conclusion that I'm ready to deal with that, because protecting the Constitution and our alliances, NATO, and fighting Putin, and remembering what we went through, what my family went through. You know what, Mark, and where it really came together was just really in the last week or so. And I started thinking about my dad serving in the Pacific and my Uncle Frank serving. He's a hump pilot, dangerous missions in World War II. And my Uncle Ray, who also was a pilot. And other family members in other generations fighting totalitarian people. And I believe this guy, Trump, is a totalitarian and very much a fascist. And he's, you know, the old adage, past is prologue. He's indicated that in his words and deeds, especially in trying to overturn a free and fair election without evidence. So are we going to have, a country, if you just boil it down to Wisconsin, it's like, okay, where's the evidence? You have to present evidence if an election has been stolen, in the case of an election. It's not there.
No.
Yet he keeps talking it. Is this the kind of person you want as president of the United States that believes things and propels these myths without evidence?
As a lifelong Republican, is that someone you want for your standard bearer for your party?
Absolutely not. And we'll have to rebuild the party.
Yeah.
And this happened when Nixon resigned, which is really a much less serious situation than we're facing now. So, yeah, the party was hurt. But the country accepted that. It's like, no, the guy broke the law. I mean, he hired these people to go after the Democrats, McGovern and the Democrats, the Watergate thing
and
situation.
It's crazy. Okay. Like what Nixon did now just seems like peanuts.
I agree. It seems like peanuts. At the time, it was really serious. And the U.S. Senate stood up and said, no, we're not going to save you. You're going to have to get out or we're going to impeach you.
Right. And now what are they saying? Come on, let's give you another shot.
Well, who knows? I haven't talked to any of them myself. But no, if he is defeated, and he should be, it protects the Constitution because who knows what this guy will do. And I again say past his prologue.
Right.
And we have to move on. And somewhere out there, there's another Ronald Reagan.
Yep.
So things can get better.
We're going to continue this discussion here on the other side of the break with State Senator Rob Coles.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train.
Welcome back, revolutionaries.
Feeling ears faded as my
well, dream. You know, along this campaign and this season, we've had some serious discussions about, you know, what's happening and where we are. And that's what this is. It's not something that I think we take lightly. And you were talking about, that the party has to be rebuilt and all of that. So to clarify, who are you voting for here for president this year?
Well, I'm going to be voting. I plan on voting for Harris. Now, that doesn't mean I particularly like some of the things, but there's no indication that she would be a threat to the Constitution like Trump is.
And that's where I kind of think, you know.
Again, I want to emphasize this. It's separate. The presidential is separate and distinct from all the other races.
Yeah,
well, U.S. Senate.
Yeah, you have friends that are
House,
running.
The state Senate, state assembly, et cetera.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people, especially some of these new people, they don't know what they're getting into yet. You know, once they, they're on a path of a steep learning curve.
So
the question is, will they stand up to basic principles that were given to them by their parents and the people of their individual districts? And sometimes you got to take on the party.
Yes.
And this is one of those moments.
You've done that.
And, you know, back, I'd done it when I thought it was very important. Like the lame duck thing. Okay, you got a new governor.
Yep.
It's like, okay, he won. Yes. I supported Walker. I didn't want him to continue to not be governor. And then there was this lame duck thing that took away various powers away from the new governor. That's wrong.
That's wrong. Yep.
As an example, you know, the whole mess with Foxconn, that was, and, you know, there's some examples.
Yeah.
But I would argue I've been the strictest budget guy there.
I would agree.
And I'm glad that hopefully there's somebody that will take that up as time goes by, because you got to balance the budget legitimately.
I worry about, you know, you've been in the party for so long. I ran the county party, and I worry about, I mean, even when I was in the party, you know, in the early 2000s, mid 2000s.
You're still a young guy, amazing.
I know, but like,
how did I get older?
We had big conversations. We had big, you know, we couldn't summarize our positions in a 30-second soundbite because we had to talk about it. And now you have people that are running for office that will put this Trump guy's name above their own on their yard signs. It's all about that. And so where I get nervous about our party is what happens next when for the last however many years, it hasn't been the Republican Party, it's been the Trump Party. And the only way to get in office is to say, hey, Trump likes me. And that's dangerous.
Well, I think you should represent your district.
Yes.
I think that whoever gets elected in these various races, find out if they don't represent the principles of the people that elected them, they won't be there very long.
I would hope not.
It means you've got to do extensive networking. No, but I think that, and you know, I've been thinking about this a lot lately, because, you know, I knew that the former president was wrong about the election, and that always was very irritating when he would continually say that at rallies, that the election was stolen, and it's like, and I'd always think, where's the proof? But the big picture that really came to me in like recent days in the last week is thinking about fascism in World War II and members of my own family that fought the fascists, both Japan and Germany, and all the guys that are buried all over the place of this country in Arlington. And then you've got Trump saying nice things about Hitler.
Yeah, right.
And sucking up to Putin. It's like, no, he's clearly our enemy, Putin. A living enemy, and we have to show the courage that the people in the World War II era had. And I'm sure they were afraid.
Yeah.
So I became less concerned about the blowback and the threats that are going to be inevitable toward me when I started thinking about all the family members that they were just teenagers, late teens, or maybe 20, and went off to war. Wow.
Yeah.
In, you know, and two Trump generations ago. And it's like,
right.
I thought if members of my family and all sorts of friends that have served in the military could do it, I can certainly take the blowback and the threats that are going to be inevitable toward me for coming out today and talking about the need to protect the Constitution and really our way of life going forward, and separating away some of the issues that may not go right, but let's get back to rebuilding the Republican Party the way it once was. Mm-hmm. And I look at this current, what's happening now, as a perversion of the founding fathers. Can you imagine what they went through? And they built this incredible constitution that has, I think, helped build a great nation. It's a great nation. It's not a nation that has to be, we just have to continue being great. The founding father, George Washington, on and on, all those incredible people. And are we going to diverge from that? I certainly hope not. So,
you know,
I'm no hero for coming out like this.
No, but it is
talking
a courageous
about this
thing.
But there's plenty of people that have also talked about this. So I'm joining them. Mm-hmm. I'm not leading the pack by a metaphor for Green Bay. I'm not, you know, leading the way on There's a bunch of others, and I probably should have done this sooner, but there was concern, you know, about blowback and public safety and all that. So I'm going to be ready for that, and I really think this is the most important, one of the most important things I've done. And hopefully people will accept that and listen to me. Those that have trusted me and, you know, believed in me will think about that. And if they're undecided, that we have to make a change here. And Trump has to be defeated, and we have to protect the Constitution, and the country will go on, even with some liberal things that Harris might do or may not do. So,
but at least the country will remain.
You have to have the foundation of the Constitution and protect democracy. If you don't have that, we will disappear.
So if people are undecided, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to think hard about this, and, you know, Google the Constitution, Google democracy, and read about it, and think about all the incredible people that have sacrificed to keep it over the generations. And you know, appreciate that. And it's another thing, you know, you've got the former president disses many of the people that have made those sacrifices. I can't accept that.
No.
Because I've known, I mean, being involved in politics as long as I have, I mean, I go to tons of veterans events, and I've met many, many people, and I've gone to many funerals of, you know, the guys that have, there's a lot of damaged bodies, people that have sacrificed.
Their stories are remarkable.
Their mental serenity. They're still struggling mentally, many of them, and all sorts of physical damage. We can't forget that. They did that for the country.
Yeah.
So I'm sticking with the country and the principles of the Constitution, and I know there'll be blowback, but others have experienced a lot more stress as far as these things than I have, and I'm part of the effort to preserve what's so important for our nation.
I also did watch a crowd of thousands of people applaud someone for having the courage to say what you just did. So there might be some blowback, but I do think that this is an act of courage. This is a selfless act of patriotism above partisanship. I believe that. And I know you believe that. And I think everything that you have sacrificed for, because, I mean, being an elected official, that is a sacrifice. It is.
Yeah,
you don't get paid a ton. You know, right. And it's a tough schedule. But everything that you have worked for was working to keep this country on the right path. And there's really only one choice in November.
Right. You know, whenever you get elected, you get your oath of office, and there's usually a Supreme Court justice that swears you in. Mm-hmm. And you swear allegiance to the state constitution and the federal constitution. So help me God.
Yeah.
And in conversations I've had with several retired legislators that are good buddies of mine, we all agreed, we never actually thought that we would have to do that. We always thought that there'd be skirmishes and debates over, you know, thousands of different issues.
Yeah.
But never actually have to defend the actual constitution at the federal level.
Yeah.
Being a state legislator. Well, I am doing it now. So this is my adherence to that oath of office that I took 9 different times over my career for 4-year terms. So, again, I'm very grateful for the time I've had. And, you know, in the last, you know, few months of service, I'm going to do the best to serve the people. But it's important for me to talk about this today and the importance of the Constitution over party.
Yeah, it is important. And it's kind of a surreal thing. You know, I've gotten blowback for some of my positions and it's interesting. I talked to guys, I've met some great people through this whole process too. I got to talk to Michael Steele and Adam Kinzinger and I got to know them. And it's not like you change a ton of your positions. I mean, I still believe that you have to be fiscally conservative. I do have a social conscience about things like marriage equality and women's rights, but I've always thought that way. But there always used to be a place for someone like me in the Republican Party.
It's harder now.
There's not. Right, because
well, we hope that there should be.
There should be in the
there
future.
There should be a place.
Yes. And what's
so
interesting.
So don't give it up. I mean, no. I'm not saying that I'm abandoning.
No, and do you know what's really.
I still plan on voting on the down ticket people.
One of the things.
As Republicans and plan on being active as much as, you know, sort of a retired person could be. I won't be as, you know, incredibly active as I was, but I'm going to be active and I'm going to contribute to people that I like, that I think could make a difference.
Right.
So, you move on. And as we said earlier, it's like there will be a process, I hope, to rebuild the party into principles that the party had. And that's, I mean, I think of my parents. They were really, especially my mother, really big Republicans.
Yes.
And but because they believed in the country and they thought the Republican Party was the closest thing, the values of the Republican Party were the closest things to propel their concern about the country as a whole.
Yeah.
And what's happened under this guy is that it's moved away from that. Not having a platform, you know, and the various things we talked about earlier in the interview. So it's got to change, all right? Or I think the country's in trouble.
I agree with you. And one of the things that I think was interesting is when I got to meet with Vice President Harris, she said to me and to Charlie Sykes and to Mangold, and she said in front of Liz Cheney, one of her goals is to help rebuild the Republican Party because she says a two-party system is critical to our country. And that meant a lot to hear. And I want to thank you for having the courage to say the hard thing because I know it's hard. And I think people here will appreciate hearing what you had to say, and it's nice that you have the space to do it.
Well, I appreciate you giving me the time to
absolutely
sort of lay this out because it's not just hey, yeah. I'm against this guy because no, there's it's a process.
It took a lot. Yeah. So, I thank you very much for your time, and I'm looking forward to your next step in the journey here, buddy. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm going to reinvent myself.
There you
Mark.
Go. Rob
thanks Cole's for having
here
me
on the Rational
Mark.
Revolution. Thank you.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Wow, revolutionaries. How about that? Thanks to Rob Coles for coming. Rob is a dear friend and someone. I told him this on the phone. I said, you know, I really, you're one of the people in politics that I revere. And he's, no, you don't. I don't say that. But I do. I think that he is someone who has always, he's stood the test of time and stood so closely to his principles and he's never wavered. And I think that's such an admirable thing that he doesn't govern by dividing people. He governs by him learning and growing and working with people. And that's why he's been in the darn legislature the longest, you know, he's the longest serving senator in Wisconsin. And, you know, just eternal thanks to Rob, to Senator Coles, for coming on and choosing this as his medium to tell that story. And, you know, there's so much that I want to talk about when it comes to that. There's one cut of audio that I wanted to play with him, but we didn't get to it. And he asked that I share this because this is one of a big reasons that he has for coming out and supporting Vice President Harris as well. And this is Liz Cheney describing what happened on January 6th during her speech in Ripon.
When Donald Trump woke up on the morning of January 6th, 2021, his intention, despite having lost the election, was that he would remain president. Rather than accept his loss and concede defeat, he had spent months overseeing a multi-part plan to attempt to seize power and remain in office. He ignored the rulings of the courts. He corruptly pressured state legislatures, including here in Wisconsin, to overturn the results of their elections. He told the Justice Department to lie for him. He conspired to have fake electoral votes cast, and he corruptly pressured his vice president to take illegal and unconstitutional actions. He summoned a mob to Washington, D.C. with his lies, and he sent the armed mob to the United States Capitol in an effort to stop the counting of electoral votes. As the violent mob attacked our Capitol, in Donald Trump's name, as they brutally beat law enforcement officers, as they hunted the vice president and the Speaker of the House, Donald Trump watched the attack on television for hours, for hours. Sitting in the dining room next to the Oval Office, he refused repeated pleas from his family, from his closest advisors, from the most senior officials in his campaign and in our government to tell the mob to leave. And when Donald Trump finally did speak publicly after hours of violence, after the Capitol had been invaded, he praised the rioters. He did not condemn them. That's who Donald Trump is. Those facts that we know about what Donald Trump did, including what he did when our Capitol was under siege, those facts do not come from Donald Trump's political opponents. Those facts come from the people closest to him. They are the ones who testified that Donald Trump did not want to stop the violent attack on our Capitol. When he learned that Vice President Pence was not going to abandon his oath and help Trump seize power, Trump sent out a tweet attacking Pence and further inflaming the mob. One of Trump's aides testified that shortly after that, this aide received a phone call alerting him that the vice president had been evacuated for his own safety from his office off the floor of the Senate. This aide recalled rushing to the dining room to tell Trump, hoping that this information would convince him to take immediate action to ensure the vice president's safety. Instead, after this aide delivered that news, Donald Trump looked up at him and said, "So what?" He said, "So what?"
It's okay to boo. I know, you know, Obama says, "Don't boo, vote now." We can boo that. We can boo that all day. And, you know, what courage for Liz Cheney to say what she said that day, and what courage for my friend Rob Coles to say what he said today. It's for all the marbles, guys. I mean, like, there was a story that came out about Marine General John Kelly, and Trump said to John Kelly that he wants his generals to be like the Nazi generals. And he wanted to behave more like, quote, Hitler's generals. This is the president of the United States, guys. And it's at some point, it's like, what more do we need, from dozens of felonies to scandals to, you know, January 6th to what? What more is there to convince people that, you know, maybe this guy is not the right guy to have that job. Maybe this guy is not the one we should give the keys back to the car to. And what a crazy thing. And I don't want to say it's a sad thing because, you know, people having the courage that Rob Coles had today is not sad, but it's a sad state that we're here. It's a sad thing that we have to have these conversations. Rob was afraid of his own safety. That's not okay. That's not normal. And I hope that this discussion gets to some of my other friends that are either in the legislature or that are retired, that they can find some of the courage to say some of the things that Rob Coles said today. I look at my kids and their future, and I really appreciate what he did today. I think that is remarkable, remarkable act of courage. And I appreciate that very much. Rob Coles is a good man. He is a good and decent man, and he's served the state for a very long time admirably. And like he said, this might have been the most important thing he's done in his career. Thank you, Rob, for doing that. We'll see you next week. Keep on fighting, guys. Take care. We all wanna change the world.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.